On today's program, we have Sarah Holbrook. She is the author of 11 books of poetry for children, teens, and adults. She is a speaker discussing topics including writing poetry across the curriculum and covering the topics of her two professional books for teachers, which include Outspoken, How to Improve Writing and Speaking Skills Through Poetry Performance, which was co-authored with Michael Salinger, and Practical Poetry, A Non-Standard Approach to Meeting Content Standards, both of which are published through Heinemann. She has been an NPR commentator on educational topics, and she's recognized as one of the country's leading performance poets. Sarah, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. That's an exciting thing for me to try.
The thing that sticks out to me the most in that very impressive bio, by the way, are the 11 books of poetry you have written. When did you realize that writing and publishing poetry was something that you were passionate about?
Well, I really started writing poetry when my children were small. And I began reading a poem to them every night before they went to bed. And at that time, Shel Silverstein, I think, only had one book out, so we quickly ran through that book. And I then started writing my own for them. And I was working in the business world as a writer and had no thought about becoming a professional poet. I was a single mom. And then people kept asking me for copies, and I would submit every once in a while and couldn't get anyone interested in my poetry. So in 1990, I published three little books, self-published, and Betsy Byers was kind enough to give me a blurb on the back, and I ended up selling 43,000 of those books.
Wow.
And then the publishers talked to me, so I kind of came in the back door, and I was passionate about my writing, but I was pretty secretive about it, you know, for a long time.
I'm sure having kids of your own can bring out some inspiration, too. And I don't have any kids, at least yet, hopefully someday. But I know that I personally would like to try my hand at poetry. What would you say to someone like me who may be hesitant about sitting down and writing poetry?
Do it, and don't put poetry up on a pedestal. Poetry is about everyday things. I think of poetry as writing a poem as taking a snapshot of my life. And I think that when we get overwhelmed with, writing a poem seems like such a big thing, it should be about a grand topic, where really the poems that we remember are poems that we read about simple things, a ride on the bus, an interaction with another person. So think small. I think in a lot of areas of the world, people tell us to think big and the sky is the limit, but in poetry, we think very small.
I think part of my reason, and I'm sure there's other people that share that, is that sometimes it's, I don't know if intimidating is the right word, but to actually sit down and produce these private thoughts or private, you know, outlooks on whatever it is, small topic or big topic. And what would be some advice you could give me with just relaxing with that? Would that be the advice, just relax and don't take it so seriously, or what?
Well, I think don't worry about your audience.
Yeah.
Because then you're more likely, which is how it sounds like, I mean, as writing coaches for students, we always ask them, who is your audience? But if you're trying to write personal poetry, don't think so much about your audience. That'll come later. And because then you tend to self-censor. And
right.
The worst self-censorship is the one that tells you what you're writing is not important.
Right.
Or what you see is not important enough to write down. Or other people have seen this. Why should I write this down? Right. And that's horrible self-censoring. Devastating the writer.
We would love if you could share with us one of your poems.
Well, I knew this was coming, and so I chose a poem. I have about 400 poems in print, but I chose a poem actually out of one of my adult books, and it's a poem I wrote for another author and a friend of mine, Sharon Draper, when she was the teacher of the year, and it's called Crystal Apples. The finest features of accomplishment cannot be mirrored in the glazed eyes and fixed smile of some trophy designed to stand alone, shelf-bound, a headstone on what was. Feet atop a pedestal are no longer on the ground making tracks. Did you ever try to sink your teeth into a crystal apple? Or wrap a commemorative plaque about your knees to keep you warm? Or put press clippings in the gas tank when you're running a little late? Success may invite you to the podium and clap you on the back, but it won't call you on the phone next day to ask how you're doing or help to plow your next row across the sky. It always helps to set a timer, a day, a month, a year, and urges others to keep their distance while you try to keep your balance on your own. Which is why busy hands can't be bothered with trophies. They know to let loose before next bell, and that the true voice of accomplishment hasn't a place at the head table at all. She waits at the bottom of the stairs beside the stage, wearing a stretched-out T-shirt from a concert she only heard about, hiding her heart behind a ragged folder of poems. Teacher? Her voice, humble-headed as a snowdrop, precarious to watch, but filled with a blooming determination despite the odds. Teacher! A fragile voice at risk of being trampled in the rush to the next pursuit. Licking a shy smile from dry teeth, her eyes reach out as she taps your attention on the arm. Teacher. The moment stops, two figures against the blur, joined at the hands and eyes. Teacher, you changed my life.
That is just beautiful. I think in addition to winning the Teacher of the Year award, that may be even more special to get a poem from one of your friends that is like that. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Well, I have a little writing story to go with it, because it was Sharon and I are both members of the Ohio Council of Teachers of English. It was actually the president of the Ohio Council of Teachers of English who asked me to write a poem. So like a lot of students, I was stuck with an assignment. And I wasn't sure I could do it, you know, and I struggled with that. But I have found over the years that when I've received assignments, sometimes that's produced some of the best writing. So that's a story that I share with kids.
To teachers like me who, some reason, feel that they struggle with writing poetry, let alone teaching students about poetry, what would be some advice you could give people like me in helping our students appreciate and become passionate about poetry?
Well, I'd let them immerse themselves in it. I always like the approach to bring a little rolling card in from the library and let kids find things that have meaning to them as far as appreciation. And then on their own writing, again, it's communicating that message to them that what they have to say is really important and their observations are unique. No one wears your shoes but you, and that's why your voice is important. When I get kids started writing poetry, I often tell them to start by making a grocery list of details about what they're about their subject. And then this is an important thing, is that we only write about one thing at a time. And I guess if I had one overall observation about where kids might start off on the wrong foot, and that is that they try to tackle these global issues in four lines. You know, elementary kids will want to write poems on the environment or peace, you know, where it makes a lot more sense to write about one deer standing in a field, just a little snapshot. And from that, of course, we extrapolate the larger issues. So one, get them to focus on one thing at a time, and two, make a list of detailed observations about that before you start to write your poem.
Great advice, and you also have two books out giving a lot of advice. Could you go into a little detail about what your two professional books for teachers are about and what you hope educators can gain by reading these resources.
Well, practical poetry started as an idea in my mind when all the, over the past few years, all the burdens have hit on teachers about standards, you know. And my daughter teaches sixth grade. I don't know how it is in your area, but every time she puts something in her lesson plan book, she has to put the standard number beside it.
Mm.
And in my mind, I know Katie's situation, my daughter. She had, at the time, two children. She was getting a master's degree coaching and teaching full-time. She didn't have time to look up standards. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
And I know a lot of teachers who, if they're not wearing those hats, they're wearing a comparable variety. And so I have learned so much from poetry. I think that poetry is a great vehicle for learning. It has been to me over the years. So I thought, well, why couldn't we use this in all subject areas? And I'll see if I can come up with some writing exercises that will help teach those standards. And the subject I tackled first was the subject I'm most uncomfortable with, and that's math. I truly typed in math standards in my search engine and was a little frightened. But it turned out that math people really understand logic, and their standards made all the sense in the world to me. So And the immediate thing I saw as a parallel was that in poetry and math, we both use symbols. So the first exercise I came up with, we're going to use math symbols in our writing. And then I think the next one that came to me was percentage poems, so, which is sort of my answer to the acrostic poem, where we write about ourselves in terms of percentages. And then I looked into the standards in other areas, too, and just lot of different exercises to go with it, and it's been a wonderful thing for me to talk to teachers about, because whether I'm talking to teachers who are in different content areas, like on the middle school level, or teachers with self-contained classrooms on the elementary level, or in fact just language arts and reading teachers, because a lot of time in writing teachers, a lot of times those teachers are now charged with helping to get the math and science teachers on board with their writing.
Now,
and they're looking for ideas. So
you also have an interesting book, Outspoken, How to Improve Writing and Speaking Skills Through Poetry Performance. I would love if you could get into that and what that's about.
Okay, that one came from, it's an outgrowth of another book that I have, I mean, from my perspective, called Wham! It's a Poetry Jam, which is about performance for kids about, I'd say, eighth grade and under. And Outspoken is really for kids about fifth grade and up. And Michael and I decided we both come out of the poetry performance world, out of the slam world, the poetry slam world, and we think that poetry slam can do a lot to teach kids how to present themselves in public. And I really believe that communication is a three-legged stool: reading, writing, and speaking. And because of all this emphasis on the standards, speaking's kind of fallen under the table. And we need to bring it back, because that's how most kids have to make themselves understood as they go through life. And so every chapter in the book has a writing exercise and an oral presentation exercise.
Well, both highly recommended resources. But Sarah, we have a segment of the show that you probably don't know about, and it's called The Story of the Day. And this is where a story is told concerning life in a classroom. And often the stories are told by classroom teachers, but when we get a chance here on the show, we love to hear stories from others about being a teacher of some sort. And we would love if you could share your story of the day.
Well, I have been visiting classrooms for 17 years now as a visiting artist, poet, author, sort of. And usually when I go to a school, I do an assembly and three writing workshops. I got to this one school, at the middle school, and they had me booked for 6 writing workshops with 120 kids or something in each writing workshop. And so I kind of moaned, and they said, well, we can send them all back and just give you the gifted kids. And I thought, you know, don't get me started on that topic. So I said, no, I will see the kids. So I did the first group, and we got through it okay. And I had a microphone and a big board, and everybody wrote a little something and left. And the next group came in, and it had even more kids in it. It had 169 white kids and Curtis. And Curtis came in with his attitude, but no paper and no pencil, and kind of threw himself back and gave me that who's the white lady look, you know. And so I looked at him, and I said, you have a piece of paper? And he said, what for? Like that. And I said, well, here's a sheet of paper. And I snatched one from another kid. I said, you need a pencil? He said, I got nothing to say. So I turned to this little girl who had a pencil case, and she gave me a pencil. And we went through our little exercise where I did 2 verses on the board, and he was to write his own. And he was just sitting there with his arms folded, and we were doing a rhyming poem on the board. And I turned to him, and I said, you mean you can't out-rhyme every kid in this room? Oh, and he bent right over and started writing. Well, I got through the rest of the day. At the end of the day, I was serving what amounts to detention for authors. I was sitting in the teacher's lounge signing books, which I love to do, but I like to meet the kids when I sign the books. But this was a huge stack, little post-it notes, you know. And I got done with that, and I went from the teacher's office kind of through the back door into the office, and there was Curtis, and he had been serving real detention in the principal's office. And I said, hey, Curtis, how you doing? And he said, hey, it's the poet. And I said, yeah. And he said, I got it. And he had this big smile on his face. And I said, I know you did. He said, no. He said, I got it. And he opened up his hand. And there, folded and sweaty and pencil smeared, was a little poem he had written, third period. He said, I got it. And I said, well, don't you lose it now. You know. And he left. And I thought, what a beautiful metaphor for a writing lesson, is that he came to school. He had a difficult situation at that school, you know. And he left that day with a poem in his fist. And I think many teachers go through days that are just a blur, and you wonder if you connect with anyone at all. And that day I really felt like I connected with that boy.
Sarah, thank you so much for taking the time to be on our program. But we have one last question before we let you go. If you had to respond with just one word or phrase that would sum up for the listeners what the word teacher means to you, what would that be?
Coach.
Well, Sarah Holbrook, thank you so much for taking the time to be on our program, and best of luck to you and everything.
Thank you. Thanks for what you're doing.
If you want to visit Sarah Holbrook online, visit www.saraholbrook.com. She also has a new book of poetry coming out entitled More Than Friends, Poems from Him and Her, a book of love poems for middle school children, co-authored by Alan Wolf. If you would like to be a part of this podcast, please visit the Teacher's Life blog, .blogspot.com, and come share with us, will you? The nation's growing. We need you. See you guys.